Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, no more death. No more death. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And it says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more death. The dark shadow of death, my friends, has been with us in this world right from the earliest times. The Bible tells us of the entrance of death into this world. It happened at the fall of man. Genesis chapter 3. Adam sinned against God, and as a result, death entered into this world. And the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so down through the centuries of time, Old Testament times and New Testament times, right up to now and into the future, we have death. All ages, all classes, all colors, all creeds experience death. The Bible says tonight, we must all die. Man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? It is appointed unto man once to die. My friend, death is inevitable. It is inescapable. It is unavoidable. Death is before us. We are going down the valley, one by one, with our faces toward the setting of life's sun. We are going down the valley. We are going down the valley, one by one. And the darkness of death, my friends, envelops this world. All around us there is death. The announcements about death. A family member, a friend, a neighbor, a work colleague, someone well known in society, someone in the general area where we live, a national or international figure. It's just over a month ago when we heard of the death of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. And so death is no respecter of household, because death entered into the royal household and took away our well-respected and well-regarded queen. How vital then it is for all of us to be ready for the day of our death. We know not what a day will bring forth. Yesterday I was outside. My phone goes in the pocket. I'm trying to get the phone out of the pocket, and there I answered the call. A lady at the end of the phone, a neighbor from years ago where we lived for 21 years in Belfast when I was ministering there. She said, Alan, and referring to her brother, she said, Matthew was found dead in bed this morning, 54 years of age. A youngish man. Sister tried to raise him, but he was gone. Into eternity. In a moment of time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Are you ready for the day of your death? Are you prepared to meet God? The Bible says, prepare to meet God. While death has been everywhere in this world since the fall, yet the Word of God speaks in the Scripture tonight, in Revelation 21 and verse 4, of a place where there will be no more death. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. I pray that in the closing moments of this service, God will be pleased to write His Word upon our hearts this evening. Three simple things I draw to your attention tonight. First of all, we have here the thought of the enemy defeated. You see, death is an enemy. It is described in Scripture as the last enemy. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 26, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His death upon the cross and His resurrection the third day from the dead, defeated death. We sung those words tonight purposely. Death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. The enemy of death that people are facing day and daily in this world, that enemy that is entering into homes, into communities with such devastation, that entered into that home in Belfast early yesterday, that entered into the palace at Balmoral where Queen Elizabeth was at the time, severing the relationships of life, leaving great heartache and terrible loss in numerous lives. It will one day be no more for all who enter into heaven. For the Bible says in our text tonight, there shall be no more death. But let me say, it is only for those who enter into heaven that there'll be no more death. And not everyone will enter into heaven. Only those who are saved will be in heaven. Are you saved tonight? The Bible says in Revelation 21 and 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Those who are saved will walk in the light of heaven. You see, death will remain an enemy for all who die in their sin, for all those who have rejected Christ. For you tonight, if you die as you are without Christ, without God, a Christ rejecter, in your sin, trampling underfoot the blood of Christ, your experience will be the second death. The Bible teaches us, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So going on to verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Listen, this is the second death. This is the second death. An enemy that shall overcome men and women and young people. And their experience without God and without Christ for all eternity will be the everlasting judgment of God. An eternal hell. How dreadful. How awful. How fearful. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? 1 Peter 4:17. What will your end be, friend? If you obey not the gospel of God, your end will be eternal punishment. In contrast, the person trusting in Christ, the Christ who has defeated death, will be in that place where there will be no more death. That dark shadow will not be there. The devastation of death will no more be felt. It will be eternal life. It will be eternal glory for those who are saved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you trusting in Christ tonight? If not, eternal death is before you. But if you are, then you will know the blessedness of eternal life. That will be your portion. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And so we have the enemy defeated. But then we have, secondly, the thought of the entrance that is granted. How wonderful it is to be granted an entrance into some place of great grandeur. Maybe a palace or a castle, a stately home. Maybe you've been there on a number of occasions through the course of your life. And you have cause even now to reflect upon those visits. And those so splendid surroundings at home or abroad. Places full of history. Magnificent architecture. Beautiful decor. All of these things. And even now, tonight, you have the fondest memories of such visits. Of what your eye beheld and your ear heard. But most times such visits come at a cost. It's normally not cheap to visit places like that. You will have to purchase a ticket in advance, or maybe somebody has kindly purchased a ticket for you as a gift. But in either case, there's a cost. That person has paid the price for you to get into such a place. And the grandest place that you can enter is heaven. What a grand place it is. It is described by the Lord Jesus Christ in the 14th chapter of John as the Father's house. And Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He doesn't say many rooms. He says many mansions. Many mansions. In the book of Revelation here, if we had continued our reading, in chapter 21 and into chapter 22, this wonderful book, we have a view of the majesty, of the magnificence of heaven. What grandeur, what glory is described for us here. Now there's no mansion down here. No matter how grand it is, you may trawl the internet tonight or some other time and try to see if there's a grander place than heaven. And you will not find a grander place than heaven down here. As we read through these chapters, it's hard for our finite minds, to take in the infinite glories that there are in heaven. The foundation. The measurements, the precious stones, the gates of pearl, much, much more. The glory of God in the midst of it. The Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 23 of this very chapter, 21 of Revelation, tells us. These are but samples that we are citing for you tonight of the wonders of this wonderful place called heaven.
And words would fail us tonight in any attempt to describe adequately heaven. Such is the beauty of the land that is fairer than day. And as we think of heaven tonight, this grand place, this magnificent place, this majestic place, this home of many mansions, we must remember the price that the Savior paid in order that sinners such as you and I might enter into this wonderful place where there's no more death. The price of His precious blood upon the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily laid down His life on the altar of Calvary for you and me, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Again, Hebrews 10:12, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life as a ransom for many. And dear friends, tonight He paid the price that only could suffice. He made the sacrifice upon the tree. Cecil Francis Alexander wrote that beautiful hymn we sung at the start of our service tonight. There is a green hill far away. What words are in this hymn. Beautiful poetry, but beautiful meaning. Included are the words, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And my friends, tonight let me say to you that the entrance is granted for all who will trust in Christ as their Savior. Will you trust Christ as your Savior tonight? Because He paid the price. And if you trust in Him, then you can enter in. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Will you trust Him tonight, my friend? And the entrance then will be granted for you. The doors of heaven will swing open wide and you will enter in to the presence of the Savior and you'll be with Him forever. But the Bible speaks of those who are outside of heaven. In this very chapter we've read of them. Those who will not be in heaven. A whole list of them. The unbelieving. Verse 8 of the passage. The fearful, the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will not be in heaven. Those who have rejected Christ, those who are still in their sin. If you stay in your sin, friend, if you continue to embrace your sin, if you continue to follow after the course of this world, and you die in that state unrepentant, you will be forever outside of heaven and forever in an eternal hell. Think about it tonight. Be wise and consider your latter end. I want to think with you, thirdly, about the enjoyment assured. There shall be no more death. You think of a place where there's no more death. There's no more sorrow. It's mentioned here. The enjoyment of heaven. This world is full of sorrow everywhere we go. There's tears and trauma. I went into that home yesterday and there was tears. There was weeping. Awful desolation. A loved one has taken, broken hearts and broken lives. Maybe you've been there, friend. Most of us have, or if you haven't, you will be at some time or another through the course of your life in the midst of awful sorrow. And the joys that this world present to you, friend, are joys that are fleeting and fading. The Bible tells us that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. But in heaven there is everlasting joy. The psalmist declared these wonderful words. Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This is assured for every saved person. The sobbing and sorrows of this world will be left behind. Death forever removed. It is everlasting life. Peter speaks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. And that's what those who have gone before us to heaven are enjoying tonight. They wouldn't swap places for a split second with us. And that's what awaits those who are in Christ, because there will be no more death. We will enter into the joy of our Lord. What a prospect. What a prospect. I remember my father had a saying when I was a boy, when we were out on a visit somewhere, and we got within sight of home, he would say, "Home, sweet home." It's an old saying. People still say it to this day. And what joy it brings to our hearts when we've been away from home and we get within sight of home again. The security, the serenity, the satisfaction of being home. The psalmist said this in Psalm 17 and the final verse, verse 15. The psalmist said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." Listen, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I shall be satisfied. What satisfaction there is for the believer, the end of the journey of life, in a far greater way than anything on earth can present to us. The joy that is the portion of the believer at home in heaven. "For to me to live is Christ," said Paul. "To die is gain." Again, he spoke these words, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's far better. And there are even Christians who are clinging to the things of this world and what they can gain in this world and what they can have in this world. My friend, it's nothing compared to what is up there in the presence of our Savior. Again, he spoke, the Apostle Paul, that is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, about being absent from the body and present with the Savior. We will sing in a little time those words, "Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me." I remember many, many years ago going to the old Musgrave Park Hospital, visiting a man who had come to Christ and he was on his deathbed. I remember going into the old huts there that were at that time used as hospital for people. Man was dying. I read to him the Word of God and his face lit up. And he kept saying, his son was there. I said, "What is he saying?" He said, "I see his face. I see his face." And in a short while, he passed over the river into the presence of the Savior. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? The Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 4, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." What joy! To see the Savior's face. A missionary on the eve of sailing for home on his first furlough, after 5 years in the East, was taken seriously ill. The doctors gave him 2 days to live, but all his thoughts were fixed on home, his old parents, the girl he loved and hoped to marry. He imagined he was getting better instead of being at death's door. A mutual friend broke the news to him of his real condition. For a moment he seemed overwhelmed with the shock, but then joy appeared to fill his soul. And with a beaming face, he calmly said, "Ah, I was going home to my earthly home. Now I'm going home to the heaven I've so often preached about. Now I'm going home to heaven that I've so often preached about." And what joy and what elation filled his soul as he entered in to the presence of his Savior. The Bible says that the earthly house of this tabernacle shall be dissolved. And when that is so, as 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Cities of this world will be burned up. This earth will be dissolved. The Bible says that elements shall melt with fervent heat. You don't have to listen to the activists on climate change to tell us that. The Bible has already told us it. But friend, there's an eternal city. It's the city of God. It's heaven. There'll be no more death. Will you be there, my friend? Will you meet me there? Will you meet me in heaven? Recently, a loved one we met up, hadn't met her for a long time. As I left her with these words, "Will you meet me in heaven? Will you meet me in heaven?" And my friend, tonight, I'm asking you the same question. Will you meet me in heaven? You'll only meet me in heaven if you're saved by the grace of God. Get saved tonight. It's the best thing you could do. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. No more death. What a prospect. What glory. What gladness. What an eternity. Are you sure of that? Thank God before you leave this place tonight, you can be sure. If you put your hand in the nail-pierced hand of Jesus and take him tonight as your Savior, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. May God write his word upon our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write the truth of thy word upon the hearts of every hearer. May those in this meeting tonight or listening to the service will this night come to Christ and trust him as their Savior. Pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory.